Gerald prayed just a moment ago about peace, perfect peace. And that's what I'd like to speak with you about this morning. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verse 35, we'll read from that in just a minute. But again, I want to speak with you about the peace that we can have as Christians and the peace that we enjoy through God, through Jesus Christ. We've been going through the Beatitudes. At least I've been preaching from the Beatitudes the last few times I've been before you. And it's really got me thinking a lot more about my walk, very critically about who I am, how am I connected to God, what is that, what is my true character? We looked at the last lesson in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we look back into Psalm 37, which I believe is what Jesus was quoting when he said, blessed are the meek. And we said that inheriting the earth was about peace. In fact, it talks about abundant peace. And so I've been thinking a lot about that. And I've been thinking to myself, am I truly at peace? You might be asking yourself, are you truly at peace? Or do I have some fear? Do I have some concern? Or is there some unsettledness in my life? Now, I think it's pretty easily established Jesus being perfect is probably the only individual that walked the earth that didn't have fear. And in fact, we can look at Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians 7, where he talked about that he suffered from fighting without and fears within. But without question, Jesus always was displaying a sense of perfect peace, of abundant peace. And there's an example of that recorded in Mark 4, which I'd like to read with you now. Again, Mark 4, verse 35 through 41. It says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear, and said one to another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So often lessons from this account focus on the disciples, and they focus on their lack of faith and the fear. But what I want us to think about is Jesus in his reaction. What gave him the sense of calm, the mindset that allowed him to face the challenges that he faced every day? They were constantly before him. How was he able to have a calm in a time like this? Scripture tells us that he was tempted even as we were. Now, there's probably more than one way to look at this, and you may look at it a little bit differently than me, but the conclusion is going to be the same. And the thing that I kept coming back to and that I thought about was really the first words that we have recorded of Jesus. And you'll recall that account in Luke chapter 2 when Jesus was 12 years old. And he went with his family up to celebrate the Passover. And after that was concluded and they were on their way back, his mother and father realized that he wasn't with the caravan. And so they rushed back to Jerusalem. They found him in the temple. And they said to him, what are you doing? And his answer was pretty succinct, and I'm going to paraphrase. It was simply this: I'm right where I should be. I'm about my Father's business. You see, Jesus was committed. He was fully committed, even at a young age. And it was that commitment, his never wavering, his sinlessness, that made him the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He always knew where he was going. He always knew his purpose for being where he was, even when he was crossing this sea engulfed in a storm. You see, he wasn't on that boat just to get to the other side. He was on that boat to fulfill his purpose, to do God's will. And we read about that. If we go on into chapter 5 of Mark 4, he casts the demons, the many demons, the legions of demons, out of the man in the Gerasenes. And what happens then? Well, that man then goes across through that whole area, glorifying God, talking about Jesus. Jesus always knew where he was. He was always about his Father's business. If you're here today and you've been you're a baptized believer, if you've confessed your sins before God and man, but you still harbor some fear or concern, my guess is it probably has to do with commitment or lack of commitment. Sometimes lacking commitment is hard to see. Consider the example of the rich young ruler in Mark 10. We know that story too. He looked pretty good from the outside looking in. And he asked Jesus, as he heard him teaching, he says, "Teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, you know the commandments. Keep them." And Jesus listed off the commandments. He says, "I've been doing that since I was a young boy." And Jesus says, "Well, you have one more thing. Give up what you have, commit, and follow me." Of course, we know how that ended for him. We know the rest of that story. But if you're like me, wavering commitment is the thing that sometimes causes you to be unsettled. It's allowing the cares, and I would say even the opportunities of life. Maybe it's your job, something that you have a deep passion for. Could be school, could be a relationship, could be a hobby. But allowing those things, and they're good things, but they get in the way of our service. They get in the way of our commitment. Jesus' life, of course, was a perfect example for us. From the very beginning, from the first recorded words that we have of him speaking, to the very end, to his death on the cross. Think about it. He was the creator of that body that hung on the cross. He knew exactly what it was going to feel like to hang there. He knew how much pain he was going to endure, and he knew at what point his body was going to break. And yet, he went to the cross, not because he wanted to, but because we needed it, and it was what he needed to do to fulfill the Father's word as a servant to God. Dying on the cross was the final step that God asked of Jesus. And he said, Jesus in John 17:4, "I have glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work that you have given for me to do." And as he went as a lamb led to the slaughter. He went like a sheep that was before its shear silent. He opened not his mouth. And how was he able to do that? It was his commitment. He was able to patiently, he was able to peacefully and sinlessly stand there, having never wavered from his commitment. Now, unlike Jesus, you and I aren't able to see the next step that's ahead of us. We don't know what lies in our life tomorrow, but by putting our trust in God, by putting our faith in him, we can take every step confidently, no matter what the storm is, no matter how and what is raging around us. If we're committed to God, if we're putting him first in our lives, and when we do stumble, when we don't do that, when we allow ourselves to rule and we catch ourselves and we turn from that, we have Jesus' blood through the grace of God to cleanse us. So I say this is a good time for you to just take a little spiritual inventory and think and ask yourself the question, am I truly at peace? Do I have abundant peace in my life? Am I fully bought in? Is there anything that I'm reserved for myself, like that rich young ruler, that I've put ahead of my service? Am I running this race for God, and am I following his will and not my own? We can have peace. We can have it abundantly. The Bible tells us that. But it requires our commitment. It requires that we're following God with all our heart, soul, and our mind. Now we're going to have a song, and then we'll be taking up the Lord's